Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Nunvov, the quote from the Mishnah of Atzeres, Omer Lo, Heloch V'chulei. The actual issue dealt with in the Mishnah is not of central concern to this particular sugya, because as you can see on the side of the Gemara, we've written the nosei. The topic is Seder Brachos, the order of Brachos that you are to recite on Sukkis with regard to sitting in the Sukkah, the Leishe Basukkah, E Sukkah. Do you make the bracha of Leishe Basuka and then the bracha of Shechyonu? O Zman V'acharkach Suka. Or do you make the bracha of Shechyonu and then the bracha of Leishe Basuka? This is going to be taking place when a person is sitting in his sukkah for the first time, let us say the night of the 15th of Tishrei, when we start celebrating the sukkah's holiday, and we recite the Kiddush, and then we have these two brachas, the bracha of Leishe Basukah and the bracha of Shechyanu. It's the first time that we are being mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah, and that warrants the saying of the bracha of Shechyanu. Machlokes Rav V'Rabo Bar Bar Chana, we will see a machlokes between these two amoroyim. I emphasize, these are amoroyim, because HaGemara menase lahamid machlokes zeh kemachlokes beis Hillel beis Shammai. The Gemara is going to attempt to parallel the machlokes amoroyim to an earlier machlokes tanoi between beis Shammai and beis Hillel, as we will see. So that the order, the issue of the Gemara has to do with order of brachos. What are the factors behind this? So we'll get into that when we get to the Gemara. However, what the Gemara will do in the course of the discussion is cite a point mentioned in the Mishnah. So we learned, of course, the Mishnah in our previous shiur, so those who are interested in the details should certainly listen to our shiur on Daf Nun Hei, particularly the end of the shiur where we discuss the Mishnah. However, just to recap briefly, the Mishnah was discussing the dividing out of different portions of sacrifices, more specifically the Lechem Aponim, and even more specifically the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos, how they are divided out. Now, without getting into details, on Shavuos, that coincides with the Shabbos, the Mishnah said there's going to be the division of the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei HaLechem. And in the Mishnah, we see the order that we present first the matzah. The matzah is the lechem upon him. And then we present the shtei halechem, which is a chometz type korban. That's all that we really have to know for today's shiur. So now we pick up the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Omar, Sukkah v'achar kach zman. That you say the bracha of Leishev Basukah and then the bracha of Shechyanu, which is always referred to in the Shas by the term Zman, because you say Lazman Hazeh at the end of the bracha. Rabo Babrachan Omar, Zman V'achar Kach Sukkah. First Shechyanu, and then the bracha of Leishev Basukah. And now we get into explanation. Rav Omar Sukkah V'achar Kach Zman. First recite the bracha of Leishev Basukah, Chiyuva D'Yoyma Odif. The obligation that is specific, unique to that particular day, is of precedence, and therefore it comes before, precedes the Shechyanu, which is not a bracha that's specific to any particular holiday. It's recited on all of the holidays. Rabbo Bar Chana Omar, he disagrees. Zman v'achar kach sukkah. First, you give primacy to the Shechyanu, and then you recite the Leishe Basukah. And why is that? Todir v'sheino todir. If you have something with greater frequency, todir has to do with frequency, versus eino todir, lacking frequency, todir koda. Now zman, shechianu is noheg, is applicable to all of the holidays. So it's in that sense, it is much more common than leishev basukkah, which is peculiar, unique to the holiday of Sukkot. What might be interesting to point out here, when we mention frequency, it doesn't mean the number of times you are going to actually recite the bracha, because the bracha of Leishev Basukkah, if a person, let's say, goes in and out of a sukkah numerous times, he'll end up saying many times the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. However, when we speak about frequency, it means, let's say, the occasion over which the bracha is recited. So the occasion of sukkah is only once a year, whereas Shechianu is recited at every holiday. The Gemara at this point presents a question. It's a long question. And as we said in our introduction, we are going to try to parallel the machlokes between Rav and Rabbo Bar Bar Chana to a machlokes Tanoim. So let's see how this operates. Leimo Rav and Rabbo Bar Bar Chana, let us say that these two Amoroyim, Beplukta the Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel Komiflegi, that they conform to a machlokas. Plukta means a machlokas. They're biplukta. They conform, or they're within a machlokas, pre-existing machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that each one of the Amorim will take a particular side. The Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. Devorim, Shebein, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Besuda. Matters of difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where they argue. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevorach al Hayom, Ve'achar Kach Mevorach al Hayayin. This has to do with the Brocha of Kiddush, the sanctification of a day, of a holy day, Shabbos, of Yom Tov. So Beis Shammai says, first you make the Kiddush, the al Hayom, the Brocha over the day, the sanctification of the day. We'll refer to it as Kiddush, Ve'achar Kach Mevorach al Hayayin, and then you make the Brocha over the wine. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Mevorech al Hayayin, V'yachakach Mevorech al Hayom. First you make the bracha over wine, and then the bracha over the Kiddush. Beis Shammai Omrim, and now explanation. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevorech al Hayom, V'yachakach Mevorech al Hayayin. That's the order, first Kiddush, and then the wine, then Borei Pri HaGefen. And there are 2 points. Shayom, Goreim, Layayin, Shiavo. The day, the holy day, causes the wine to be brought out in the first place, in the context of the Kiddush. In other words, it's mechayev, it makes the wine obligatory. A person can drink wine, of course, at any given time during the week, but that's not obligatory. In this case, we're talking about the necessity to make a broch over wine. And so what causes that necessity? The day that if it wasn't, because if you didn't have a Kiddush to recite, so you didn't need to have a cup of wine, and Rashi adds a very fine point, a cup of wine before the meal. Generally speaking, people drank wine, but they drank in the course of their meal. This phenomenon of a cup of wine before the meal is quite unusual. So why is that happening? It's because the day, you have the need to sanctify the day. So the main factor is that which is causing the wine to be brought, namely the Kiddush. The need to recite the Kiddush is causing the wine to be drunk before the meal. So day gets primacy. And number two, Ukvar Kiddush Hayom Vadayin Yayin Loba. The day sets in before the wine is even brought out. So this is another reason the day sets in first. In other words, the day sets in at darkness. That's when Jewish holidays begin, at darkness. He doesn't have his cup of wine as soon as the darkness sets in. Person eats a bit later. In fact, people first daven the Arvis, the Mairiv davening, and then they sit down to the meal. And all of this is after the day, the holy day, has already set in. So that's another reason for giving day precedence. We continue. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Mevorach al Hayayin, V'achakach Mevorach al Hayom. You make a bracha on the wine before the bracha over the Kiddush. Shayayin goreim l'kiddusho shtetei omer. And we look at the Rashi. Shayayin goreim l'kiddusho shtetei omer, she'im lo hoya lo yayin, lo hoya mekadish b'chdi. If he didn't have wine, he wouldn't say the Kiddush just like that for nothing. There is a concept of making a brocha of Kiddush over your two loaves of bread. The case of the bread is where you don't have any wine, so you would make the brocha over the two loaves of bread. So, as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, he too has two reasons. One is that the wine enables the Kiddush to be recited. And number two, why wine first? Birchas Hayayin Tadiro, Birchas Hayom Eino Tadiro. Here's the first time we're seeing frequency mentioned in the issue of the Machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is the one that emphasizes frequency, that the bracha of wine is much more frequent, and Birchas Hayom Eino Tadira, it's less frequent. Todir Visheno Todir, Todir Kodem. That which is frequent versus that which is not frequent, that which has greater frequency comes first. So that having been said, and that's noted in Beis Hillel, Shitas Beis Hillel emphasizes frequency, Beis Shammai does not, Beis Shammai emphasizes the day, the sanctity of the day. Lemo Rav Diomar Kebeis Shammai. Shall we say that Rav holds Rav? Now, what was Rav's shita? He said the Chovas Hayom comes first. He says say Yileishev Basuka before the Zman. So that's called Chovas Hayom, that which is obligated to this day specifically, Leishev Basuka. He would seem to parallel Beis Shammai, who says say Kiddush and then the Yayin. The Rabbo Barbachana, he emphasized frequency, and hence he said, Rabbo Barbachana mentioned, say Shechiyonu first, and then you say the Leishe Basuka, the Omar, Ke Beis Hillel, that he would parallel Beis Hillel. That also said, you say that which is frequent first. And here the Gemara responds. This was presented as a long question. It was a suggestion. The lema was a suggestion, and here we have what we call this a dechiyah, a rejection of this long suggestion. And now we look at the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei, and we call this hemshech. We're obviously continuing discussion. Mivneh, a structural note. Diamonds appear in this section. They highlight the expression ano di amri, I say. HaGemara doicha nisoyen d'liel, the Gemara rejects the attempt we just had. V'chol amoira oimer, each amori of Rav and Rabbi Bochana will tell you, the shitosu titkabel al yedei beis Hillel v'gam beis Shammai, that their shitas will be something accepted by both beis Hillel and beis Shammai. So each amora is proud to announce, to tell us that their particular shitas with regard to Sukkah and Shechianu, is something that all the Tanoim would agree with. So let's see how each one does that. Omar Loch Rav. Rav tells us, Ano di Amri, Afilu lebeis Hillel. I, who said, say Leishev as Basuka before the Shechianu, because Choyvas Hayom is the Iker. Ad kan lo kamri beis Hillel hosom. Beis Hillel said their din over there by saying the broch on the wine first. El Shayayin Goreim Lekidusha Sheteomer. It's only because of that reason. And Rashi points out that, as we saw when we read the source, there were two reasons. Rav is telling us that the reason of Todir is really not enough. So what gives the wine primacy? It's because the wine causes the recitation of the Kiddush. So you say the wine before the Kiddush. Avol hocha, in the case of the Sukkah and the Shechianu, ilav zman. If it wasn't if you didn't have the brocha of Shechianu to say, let's say in the middle of Sukkah, you want to sit in the Sukkah. So you already said the brocha of Shechianu at the beginning of Sukkah. Mi lo amrin of Sukkah? Would you not be saying Sukkah, the Leishev Sukkah, without the zman? So that the Birchas Shechianu is not dependent on the Bracha of Sukkah. Therefore, you will say, Rav says, Rav tells us that even Beis Hillel will agree that since you don't have this interdependency, you will say sukkah. You'll say the bracha of Leishev Asukkah. V'rabo bar bar chana omar loch. Rabo bar bar chana, who told you that you say Shechiyonu and then the Leishev Asukkah, ano di amri afilu lebei shamai. My position of saying Shechiyonu first can conform to Beis Shammai as well. Ad kan lo amri Beis Shammai hosam. Beis Shammai said their point that first you say the Kiddush Hayom before the wine. Elo shahayom goreim layayin shiyavo. The wine causes the wine to be brought out. The fact that you have a holy day, that is why we're going to have a brocha over wine before the meal. Avol hacha. But in the case of Shechiyonu and the Leishev Basukkah, Ilav Sukkah, if there wasn't a bracha said over the Sukkah, for example, people are on the road, they're traveling when the holiday of Sukkah sets in, and they're not obligated in sitting in the Sukkah. Milo Amrinon Zman, would they not say Zman anyway? So the dependency, we'll say, of one on the other doesn't exist, as you do have in the case of the Kiddush Hayom and the Birchas Hayayin. Therefore, even the bracha of Shechiyonu can stand independent of the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. So it gets primacy. Tanan. So we now have a Tanaic source, our Mishnah, and we'll be asking on Rav. Now, what was Rav's, the basis of Rav's Shita? We saw above, he said, Chovas Hayom comes first. His Loshen was Chiyuva Diyoma Odif. What will we see here? We will see primacy is a consideration greater than Chovas Hayom, than that which is obligated that day specifically. What does it say in our Mishnah? Batseres Omer Lo, on the holiday of Shavuos that coincides with Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there's a division of the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei HaLechem. How is it divided out? In what order? Heiluch Matzah, Heiluch Chometz. We present to the Kohanim, first we present the Matzah, that's the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim is more frequent, but it's not Chovas Hayom. And Rashi explains, because that particular division of Lechem Aponim is based on last week's bread. It's not something that is associated with this week's Shabbos. It's last week's Shabbos, because on the previous Shabbos, the breads are set up on the table. They're set up right after they were baked before Shabbos on the Shulchan on Shabbos day. They are divided next week. So any given week's Lechem Aponim is really associated with last week's Shabbos. And yet, we say, first, take the matzah. Matzah is the lechem aponim, because it's baked in a non-fermented fashion. And then, heilich chometz, and then, it, after all, shvus, we divide the shtei lechem, which are fermented, they are breads that are left, when in their baking, they're allowed, they're let to sit and become chometz. We give them out after the lechem aponim. Now, the chometz is associated with Chovas Hayom. The Shtei Alechem are obligatory on this very day of Shavuos. The Hohocho, in the Mishnah's case, the chometz Iker. Iker means it's the Chovas Hayom. U'matzah Tofel, the matzah, the Lechem Aponim, is associated with last week, Shabbos. V'kotoni, and nevertheless, it teaches Heilech Matzah Veilech Chometz. We give primacy to that which is more frequent. The matzah, the lechem aponim, happens every week. And only afterwards, the chometz, the shtei lechem, what do we see? That todir, it comes before chovas hayom, tiyufta the rav. This counters rav. Rav had given primacy in his halacha to the chovas hayom, to the leishev basukah, and only afterwards, the more frequently recited shechiyonu. So does this not refute Rav? the case of the lechem upon him coming before the shtei alechem. Omar loch Rav. Rav responds, Tanoi hi. The source presented in our Mishnah, of the division of the lechem upon him and the shtei alechem of Shavuos, is in fact a machlokes tanoim. One opinion is the aleph, Heloch matzah, heloch chometz. That's like we saw in our Mishnah. Abba shol, Homer, heloch chometz, heloch matzah. First, you divide out the shtei alechem, chovas hayom, like Rav, and only afterwards the matzah, the lechem upon him, which is more frequent. Now, the next couple lines, we deal with the Gemara's psak. In other words, how are we to rule with regard to the machlokes, Rav and Rava Bar Bachana, Zman and the Leshe Basuka. So Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, Loi Kedivrei Rav, the Omar Sukkah V'Achar Kach Zman, not like Rav, Elo, Zman V'Achar Kach Sukkah. First Shechionu and then Sukkah, Rav Sheshes Breder of Idi Omar, just the opposite. He says Sukkah V'Achar Kach Zman. First Leshe Basuka, and then finally the Shechionu. V'ilchasa sukkah v'achar kach zman, and the Gemara rules like Rav Sheshes, first sukkah and then shechionu. Mishmor shezmano kavua v'chulei ushar korbonas tzibor. The Mishnah discussed how you divide out all of the different sacrifices and different portions on a holiday when all of the 24 mishmaros are present in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to any regular week where only one service group is assigned to that particular week. On the holidays, all 24 service groups are present. So the Mishnah made a point of those sacrifices that are holiday related are divided amongst all 24 service groups. However, sacrifices that are not holiday related, they are given to that particular service group that was supposed to serve that week anyway. So in the Mishnah mentioned Mishmor Shizmana Kavuhu Makriv Tamidim Dorim in the Davos Shar Kavana Sibur. The Mishnah enumerated those things that the regular service group that was assigned to that week would get. And then it said at the end, Umakriv es hakol. So there are two phrases here that the Gemara will analyze in the next couple lines. First, it mentioned that the Mishmor Shizmano Kavua gets Nidorim, Nidovas. Those are voluntary type offerings that are brought in the court, that are brought because people vowed to bring them, and in our case they're bringing them on the holiday, so during Chol HaMoed. So that particular service group that was going to serve anyway gets those sacrifices, gets the meat, gets the skins from those sacrifices. And then it said Ushar Korbanos Sibon, other public sacrifices. What is referred to when the Mishnah says other public sacrifices? You have, of course, the holiday-related public sacrifices, that those are divided amongst all of the Kohanim equally. What is referred to when you say the other public sacrifices? Obviously, they're not holiday-related. So the Gemara asks, regarding the Shar Korbanos Sibon, Lasuyemai, what is this coming to include? Answer, Lasuyei Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor, these are sacrifices that are brought in the event that the high court, the Sanhedrin, made an error in their legal ruling and the public followed their ruling. If it happened on a holiday that such an event took place and there's a need to bring the Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor, or the Sira Avodas Kochavim are associated with an error concerning idol worship, idolatry. So in those cases, those are not holiday-related public sacrifices. They're sacrificed because the court had erred in some kind of ruling, and it happened during the holiday period. So those animals will be processed by the Mishmor Shezmanoi Kovua. The Mishnah also said, "V'hu makriv es hakol," a very unusual statement, and because it's saying that that particular week's service group will offer everything. We know they don't offer everything. So what does that phrase mean? Lasuye maisa, what is being included? Answer, lasuye keitz hamizbeach. To be brief about this, this is a reference to sacrifices that are brought from the public coffers during the hours of the day that the mizbeach is not otherwise being used for offering sacrifices. We can call it downtime. So if they saw in the Beis HaMikdash that there was downtime, that there weren't other sacrifices, people weren't bringing up their voluntary offerings, and there were no public obligatory offerings being offered, so they, in honor of the Mizbech, that it shouldn't look as if it's idle, I-D-L-E, it was determined, or it was established, that monies found in the Beis HaMikdash that were dedicated to sacrifices would be used to buy public non-obligatory sacrifices to keep the Mizbeach busy, so to speak, and that will add to its honor. We didn't explain how the monies get to the Keitz HaMizbeach situation, but we didn't translate the term Keitz HaMizbeach other than It's a borrowed expression that has to do with offering the sacrifices when there is downtime. So just to repeat this last point, those sacrifices would be handled by the mishmar, by the service group whose week it was anyway. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side. Chalukas lechem aponim. We're going to continue something mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the division of the lechem aponim, the 12 breads that stood from week to week on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll talk about the division of those breads, b'yom tov hasomuch l'chag, on Yom Tov, that comes out next to that's next to Shabbos. That's, we read that again. B'yom tov hasomach l'Shabbos. Mamish. That's a case where, let's say, Yom Tov falls out on the day right after Shabbos. Falls out on a Sunday. Or the Yom Tov ended on a Friday. So in either of those cases, since we know on Yom Tov all the service groups have to be there, and there's no gap in time between Shabbos, which is the day for dividing the Lechem Aponim, so even though in these cases of Yom Tov HaSomach L'Shabbos Mamish, we're talking about a Shabbos that isn't actually Yom Tov. As far as Shabbos, which coincides with Yom Tov proper, that was what was mentioned in the previous Mishnah, Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. This Mishnah features a case of Shabbos coming out right before a holiday or right after the holiday without any travel time gap between. So all the 24 service groups had to be there on this Shabbos, even though it's not a Shabbos that's on the holiday itself, but right next to the holiday. So we'll discuss how's the Lechem Aponim divided out. Maybe we should just mention, in general, the Lechem Aponim in a standard Shabbos was divided amongst two service groups. You have the changing of the guard between service groups taking place on Shabbos. Last week's, the previous week's service group leaves, and the new service group enters the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So, on a standard Shabbos, the Lechem Aponim was divided amongst those two groups, and we'll see more about that in detail as we go on. Here we're talking about a case where all 24 mishmoros of kahuna are there on this Shabbos because the Shabbos was right next to the Yom Tov without any travel time between. So they had to be there. There's another case, Yom Echad Mafsik. Yom Echad Mafsik is very simply where Yom Tov ends on a Thursday, There's one day of travel, and then Shabbos. Many people don't want to travel a long distance where they have such a short time frame within to complete their journey, namely one day. So some people, in this case some of the Kohanim, might have elected to stay there over the Shabbos. So you can have, as we said, a case where Yom Tov ends, and there's only, it ends on a Thursday. We'll have another case where Yom Tov begins on a Monday, so that the if Yom Tov begins on a Monday, you'll then have only one day between the Shabbos and the new and the holiday that sets in. So let's see the next case. Number two is Bishar Yemois Hashana. We alluded to this earlier. The Lechem Aponim division on a standard Shabbos. Bein Mishmor Hayotze Vanichnas was divided between the two service groups that changed. They changed over on Shabbos. Two opinions. The Tanakama, the first opinion, is Sheish Sheish. It's divided, there are 12 loaves, so it's divided equally. Six for the old group, six for the new group that comes in today on Shabbos. The second opinion of Yehuda, he says, hey, five layotze, and seven lanichnas. That needs explanation, and the Gemara will deal with it. Now the Mishnah. Yom Tov HaSomach L'Shabbos. Bein Milufuneo, Bein Milachareho. Hoyukol HaMishmoro Shavos. Bechiluk Lechem HaPonim. The Gemara itself will analyze the expression Lufuneo L'Achareho. In our presentation, we already offered the explanation, but for right now, we'll play as if we don't know what that means and let the Gemara decipher it. Anyway, we said that Yom Tov that comes out next to Shabbos, whether before, whether after, all the Mishmaros divide equally in the Lechem Haponim. Chal Yois Yom Echod Lahafsik Veintayim. If there is a gap of one day between the Yom Tov and the Shabbos. Mishmor Shizmanoi Kovua Hoyunotel Eser Chalois. The fixed service groups that had to be there anyway for that Shabbos, and there's the old week and the new week, so they get 10 of the 12 loaves and divide them. They divide those 10 loaves between those two groups. Vamis Akev Noitel Shtayim, and that the group, the any of the other groups that were coming because of the holiday's proximity, they will get two loaves to divide amongst them. Before we go further, we glance at the Rashi in the wide lines under the Gemara, the fifth wide line, Chal Yoim Echod Lahafsik Bein Tayim, Kagon Shechal Yom Tov Rishon B'Sheni B'Shabbos. The first day of Yom Tov comes out on a Monday. Shohoyu Yechoyim Lovo Be'Echod B'Shabbos. In theory, they could have come and traveled on Sunday. Shabbos ends, people start traveling, the Kohen could have traveled and arrived there by Sunday night for the Yom Tov. Vehem kidmu bo me'erev Shabbos, however they came early, maybe they didn't want the pressure of traveling on Sunday. So being that Sunday night was a holiday, which is not a time for traveling, so they came Friday. So they're there in anticipation of the holiday that's going to come. Oi, shechal Yom Tov v'achron b'chamishi. B'Shabbos, or a case where Yom Tov ended on a Thursday. Shehoyu Choylim Leilech Me'erev Shabbos. Well, if Yom Tov ends on a Thursday, if you've got Friday's still a weekday, you can travel and get home by Shabbos. V'nisakfu Shom B'Shabbos. They didn't want to. They stayed there over Shabbos. Kol HaMishmosh Nisakfu, all of these service groups that are there because of the holiday, whether the holiday that ended or the anticipation of the holiday, Ein Noitlin Eloshtei Chalos. They get only two of the 12 loaves. Umishmar Shizmana Kavua Notal Esir Vachokina Sabain Mishmar Nichnas Lamishmar Hayotse Kedera Kol Shabosis Hashana. The other 10 loaves are divided amongst the service groups whose fixed time is there to be there anyway. We discussed this in our previous year about the 24 service groups being assigned a separate week over the year, and they would serve, since there are sort of 48 weeks in the course of the year, so they would serve 2 weeks out of the year on this 24 service group, 24 week cycle. Those are the service groups that we're referring to when we say they would have to be there anyway. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Ubishar Yemois Hashana. Hanichnas Noitel Sheish Vayotze Noitel Sheish. Other times during the year, the old service group would get 6, and the new service group, well, the Nichnas technically is the new service group entering, and the Yotze, the service group exiting. Each group, 6 of the 12 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hanichnas Noitel Sheva, Vayotze Noitel Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that the new group coming in this week gets 7, and the old group that leaves gets 5. So they're getting 5 now. Last week they got 7. Hanichnosim Cholkim B'Tzofen Vayotzim B'Dorom, in order to show which is the new group and which is the old group, in order to make it clear, so the Nichnosim, the new group, would receive their portions while standing in the northern part of the Azorah, of the temple courtyard, and the Yotzim, the departing group, would stand in the southern part, which is considered less significant. Since they're leaving, so they have less significance than those that are coming in to now do the Beis HaMikdash Avodah. Bilga is the name of a mishmar. Le'olam choylekes bedorom. Even when they are coming in to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, because of something the Gemara will say later, they are given this, they're demoted in a sense to receive at all times their portion in the south. V'tabato kavua v'chaloina stuma. Tabato is a ring in which animals that were sacrificed, that were slaughtered, their necks were inserted so that they would be kept in place. And it was a ring. Rashi describes it as a ring that was attached to the ground, and it swiveled so that the animal's head could be put in, and then it would be closed shut. And every service group had their own, there were 24 tavos for each one of the service groups. However, Bilga's ring was locked, and they had to borrow some, so to speak, or use someone else's ring. Of course, that is embarrassing. And Chalona Stuma, Chalona is a reference to compartments in the wall of the Beis HaMikdash where the knives for slaughtering were stored. Each service group had their own chalon, their own literally window or compartment for their knife storage. Bilga's chalon was sealed shut, so they had to use someone else's space. We will discuss Bilga later in the Gemara. Mai milafoneho umai milachareho. In the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, it mentioned Yom Tov that comes out next to Shabbos, whether it be before or after. I lema lefoneho means Yom Tov Rishon. That means that Yom Tov was before Shabbos, so that the Mishnah is saying that Yom Tov that's next to Shabbos, where Yom Tov is before Shabbos, and lachareho equals Yom Tov Achron, and afterwards, it is afterwards, the pronoun being Yom Tov, where that means where Yom Tov would come out after Shabbos. Well, Hainu Shabbos Shebesoy Chachag. You're describing Shabbos in the middle of the holiday. Well, Shabbos in the middle of the holiday was something that was already discussed on Daf Nun Hamid Beis in the Mishnah, where it mentioned 3 times a year, all of the service groups are equal with the division of the Lechem Aponim. And there the Mishnah was describing Shabbos in the middle of a holiday. So to say that the the pronoun, when say it is before and it is after, is a reference in this Mishnah to the holiday. It, the holiday, is before Shabbos, or it, the holiday, is after the Shabbos, leaving Shabbos in the middle, cannot be the explanation. Ella. Lifoneho Yom Tov Acharon. Le'achareho Yom Tov Rishon. What does that mean? Lifoneho. Before it, before the Shabbos, is the Yom Tov. So that lifoneho, before it, here the pronoun is referring to Shabbos, so before it is Yom Tov. So what does that mean? That Yom Tov ended before Shabbos. Hence Yom Tov Acharon, end of Yom Tov, before Shabbos. L'achareho, Yom Tov Rishon. The pronoun is Shabbos. So that the holiday comes out before it. Before Shabbos. Let's correct ourselves. L'achareho, after Shabbos, is the Yom Tov. So what part of Yom Tov is after? The beginning of Yom Tov is after Shabbos. So in this Mishnah, we're featuring Shabbos that's independent of the Yom Tov. However, there is no gap between the two. Shabbos coming out either right after the Yom Tov ended, or Shabbos coming out right before the Yom Tov begins. My Taima, why? In this case as well, are the Lechem Aponim divided equally amongst all the Mishmoros? After all, it's not a Shabbos during the holiday. The Gemara answers, Kevon Dehani Makdami Vahani Machri, since in both of these cases, the Kohanim had to come before the Shabbos or after the Shabbos, where they had to be there after the Shabbos. They couldn't have avoided being there on the Shabbos. Tiknu Rabbonin Nilsa, the Rabbonin established a ruling, Ki Hechi Denichlu Bahadi Adodi, so that they would all be together. There would be equality amongst all of them. They should all eat together. Chal Yoim Echod, the Mishnah mentioned if there was a gap in time, so it mentioned the 10 and 2 division, and then the Mishnah went on to talk about the Sharim HaSashana, and we want to focus on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda right now, that spoke about a standard Shabbos. Changing of the guard. New group entering gets 7 loaves, group leaving gets only 5. The Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, Vahani Tarti Mai Avititayu, the 2 extra loaves that the entering service group gets, what is their nature? Why are they getting 2 more than the group that is leaving? We might as well say that the changing of the guard took place, let us just say for argument's sake, around noontime. So the old service group left, and the new service group was left there alone from noon onwards. Omar Rav Yitzchak, Bishar HaGofas Losus. It's payment for their closing the doors. In the evening, the Beis HaMikdash gates were shut. HaGofas Losus, the shutting of the gates. That was done by the new service group. So for payment of closing the gates, they got 2 extra loaves. The Gemara asks, V'neim ole dal bedal, why doesn't the old service group say to the new service group, why don't you give up on the extra loaves? In other words, let's split it equally. You're getting 2 more than us. Skip. Dal bedal is the word itself means reduce. Reduce that which you're getting now. You're getting extra now, so that next week you won't be getting less than the other one. Give up now so that you gain later. Omar Abaye, butsina tova mikora. This is a common saying. In common jargon, we say a bird in the hand is better than 2 in the bush. The translation of this saying is, if someone offers you a small, let's say, pumpkin, we're not committing ourselves to a literal translation of butzina and kara, but we're giving an example. If someone offers you to pluck a pumpkin that's small, but you get it right now, or he offers you a deal to get the pumpkin at the same price, but wait till it grows to be large, the Eitzah is, the advice we give to people is, if you're given an opportunity to get it now, take it right now, because you don't know what's going to happen down the line. You're hoping it's going to mature, maybe it won't, maybe it'll go bad. So if you have a chance to get something now, take it now. That's what the new service group will tell, will respond to the suggestion of Dal Bedal, of give up now a little, so that you give up now the extra, so that you gain that which you give up next week, because otherwise next week you're going to get only 5 and the new group will get 7. They'll say, no, we have an opportunity to get the extra 2 now, we will take that and not follow your suggestion of Dal Bedal. Omar Rav Yehuda, Uva Musafim Holkin. Before we go further, we have a topic heading on the side. Lefi Rav Yehuda, Holkin Oros HaMusafim Shel Kol Shabbos Kemo Chalukas Lechem Haponim Mishmor HaNichnos U'Mishmor HaYotze Holkin. According to the Amoira Rav Yehuda, the Korban Musaf, which was offered every Shabbos, there's an extra public sacrifice, the musafin, the skins of those animals would be divided equally amongst the two service groups, just like the division of the lechem upon him. Triangles will appear, and you can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, Kushyos al Rav Yehuda. These will challenge Rav Yehuda's teaching. So having read already, reviewed it, says Musafim Cholkin, we ask, Meisvei, Mishmura HaYotze Oise Tomid Shel Shachar Musafin, Mishmura Nichneses Oise Tomid Shel Beinu Arbaim Ubozichin. The old service group, they do the morning daily sacrifice and the Korban Musaf, the additional sacrifices that are unique to Shabbos. And Mishmor HaNichneses, the new service group, the entering service group, they do the sacrifices that are done later in the day, the Tomid Shel Ben Arvayim, the daily afternoon sacrifice, and Bozichin, this is the offering of the incense of the Lechem that was sitting on the table, holding the Lechem upon him as well. So the Bozichin, this incense, it was a spice that was offered on the Mizbeach, that was handled by the Mishmor HaNichnas. Ve'ilu Musafin Chokin Loi Kotoni. This source makes no mention of the dividing of the Musaf skins. That would be then a question on Rav Yehuda. In other words, at the superficial glance at this source, it says that the old service group did the Musaf. They probably got the skins. There wasn't an equal division. Rav Yehuda will answer, Hai Tana b'chaluka lo komairi. This Tana is not dealing with the issue of dividing portions, dividing things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's dealing with who processed them, but not the dividing of. Question. Omar Rava. V'ha Tana d'be Shmuel the Mairi Bechaluka. We're going to see a source shortly. It's a Tanaic source that was taught in the Yeshiva of Shmuel that does speak about dividing. Uva Musafim Cholkin Lo Kotani, and it makes no mention of the division of the Musafim. The Tana Debe Shmuel Mishmora Hayotze Oise Tomit Shel Shachar Musafim. This we saw just before. Mishmora Nichneses Oise Tomit Shel Ben Avayim Bozichin. That too we saw. Arbo Kohanim Hoyu Nichnosim Sham. The source describes now the switching of the Lechem upon him, the removal of the old loaves that were sitting there during the past week, and the bringing in of the new loaves. The in order to do this transfer, four Kohanim were necessary. So four Kohanim would enter the Beis HaMikdash. Hayu nechnasim sham, they would enter the Heichal. Shnayim mimishmor zu, u'shnayim mimishmor zu. Two Kohanim from the old service group, two Kohanim from the new service group. The Chokim Lechem Haponim, and the Lechem Haponim would be divided. So you can see that this source does deal with the issue of division. V'ilu b'musafim chokim lo katani. No mention is made of dividing the musafin. Tiyufta de Rav Yehuda, tiyufta. Does this appear to be a refutation of Rav Yehuda? Yes, it does. Hanichnosin cholkim betzafon. The division of the Lechem Aponim was done with the new service group receiving their portion while they're standing in the north, and the old week, the past week service group that's leaving now, gets their portion while they're in the south. And the Gemara explains, Kedei Shiyiru Shehein Nichnosin, so that it should be clear that they are the ones that are entering. V'hayoytzin Cholkim V'dorom, the Mishnah had mentioned that the new service group gets in the south. The old service group gets in the south, Kedei Shiyiru Shehein Yosin, so as to make it clear that they are the ones that are leaving. It's very interesting to note how Rashi is very, very sensitive to Gemara structure. He points out, and that's why we have this marked as we do, the bracketed section in this source is the Gemara interruption of the Mishnah. It's not part of the Tanaic source itself. So you can see how we have, let's correct ourselves, not the bracketed section, but rather the framing is framing only the quote from the Mishnah. That which is outside the frame is the Gemara itself speaking. And that is something that Rashi troubles himself to point out. And we in Gemara markings always like to show how Gemara structure is something that was very much on the minds of the Mefarshim. And since our shiur based on Rashi, we point out from time to time how Rashi was sensitive to Gemara structure. Bilga li'olam chilekis bedora. The Mishnah mentioned that the service group whose name was Bilga always receives their portion, even when they are entering. They're the nichnosim, they're the new service group. They will receive their portion in the south. Tanu Rabbanan. And here we have a Tanaic source which gives the background to the issue. On the side, we have our topic heading, Bilga li'olam chilekis bedora. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. You notice we have numberings. One here and a few lines later. Number two, there's a Yeshom and a squiggle underline. Two Hezberim as to why Bilga is treated this way. Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga, Shemira Dasa. In an incident involving a woman whose name was Miriam, Bas Bilga, the daughter of Bilga. One might explain the expression Bas Bilga based on the Rashi that she was from the family of Bilga. She was even though women don't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but she was a daughter or a descendant of that family. Either way, Miriam is from Bilga. Shemira Dosa, she became a heretic. V'holcha v'niseis l'sardiut echa mimalchi Yevonim. And she went and married an officer of the Greeks. This is, you're talking about a time period which is historically at the time just before Hanukkah, just before we celebrate Hanukkah. Kishenichnesu Yevonim l'heichal. And Rashi points out, this is at the time of Matisyo ben Yochanan, and that name should be familiar to many of you. He is featured in the Al Hanisim that's recited in the Shemoneh Esrei and in the Birchas Hamazon of Hanukkah. So when the Yevonim entered the Heichal, and in his day, they came to profane the Beis HaMikdash, Hoysa Mevaetes Besandalo Agabi HaMizbeach, this Miriam took her shoe, or she kicked with her shoe the altar, or she removed her shoe and beat the Mizbeach with it, the Omra, and declared Lucus Lucus. Lucus is a Greek word meaning wolf. Ad Mosai Ato Mechale Momoinim Shel Yisrael V'iyata Oymen Alem B'Shas Hadchak. How long is it that you're going to consume the money of Israel? People bring sacrifices. They bring sacrifice to beseech the Almighty, to atone for sins, and you do not respond. You don't stand for them. Iyata Oymen Alem. You don't defend them at the time of oppression. So she is deriding, belittling, disparaging the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, specifically the Mizbeach, as she just said. Ukshishamu Chachomim Badovar, when the sages got wind of this, when they heard of this, Kovu Es Tabato V'sosmu Es Chalona. They, to express their resentment and their disgust with what she did, they sealed the service group's ring and they sealed up the window, the compartment in which their knives were stored. V'yesh Oimrim, another approach, a totally different approach to how the Kviyas Tabas and the Stimas Chalon took place. Mishmartoi Shoyalovoi, the Mishmeres, the service group that's called Bilga, they tarried, they delayed in coming. In other words, there was the week that they were supposed to serve. They didn't show up on time. They delayed in coming. The name of the service group right before Bilga in the 24-week cycle, and we said there were 24 mishmaros, each mishmar was assigned a specific week, and it worked on a cyclical basis. The mishmar that precedes Bilga, the name of that mishmar was Yeshevov. So Bilga delayed in coming. Who's going to serve in the meantime? V'nichnas Yeshevov Echov Imoy V'shimesh Tachtov. That means that Yeshevov, who was already there, they stayed there, and they served in their stead, instead of Bilga. And to acknowledge or to show their opposition to this type of behavior in not showing up for the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, which in effect is a public desecration and denigration of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's so important to you, why? How is it that you don't come on time? So therefore, the Bilga service group was penalized with their ring being sealed and the knife compartment being shut. Afalpi Shishchene Roshoim Lo Nistakru, even though in general those that are neighbors of the wicked don't benefit, one who lives next to wicked ones does not benefit. Shchene Bilga, the neighbors of Bilga, a reference to Yeshevov that precedes Bilga in the cycle of service groups. Nistakru. Yeshevov benefits by having been next to Bilga. Shebilga le'ilim cholekes bedorom. Bilga, even when they do enter, they will receive their portion in the southern part of the Azora, which is less significant. Yeshevov ochiv betzofon. And Yeshevov, their brethren, or as their Kohanim, even when they were departing, would receive in the more prominent location the Tzafon, the north. The north is more prominent because, amongst other things, it is a part of the Azorah that even Kodshei Kodshim can be sacrificed. There are different levels of sanctity associated with different sacrifices. The Dorom was not eligible to have Kodshei Kodshim, high-level sacrifices, slaughtered there. So now we have a source featuring two approaches as to why the Bilga service group is treated the way they are. According to the second approach that described Bilga as an entire service group that was lazy in coming to the Beis HaMikdash, Hainu de Kansinan Lekula Mishmar. As a result of that, we can understand how there was a fine levied against the entire service group. The entire service group demonstrated their disinterest. So they, as an entire group, lose out. Elolamando Mar Miriam Basbilgo Shemiro Dosa. But according to the first approach, that it was a reference to one woman who was a descendant of that service group, who became a heretic, Mishum Barte Kansino Leila Dide, because of his daughter, we impose a fine on the father. Omar Abaye in yes, Kidamri and she. There's a common saying, Shuta Dianuka Bashuka, the speech. Shuta has to do with the talk, the speech, the way a child speaks in public. The shuk is a marketplace or in public. The child reflects that which the child heard from either his mother or her or the father. Davua, from the father or the mother, the ime. Question: Umishum avua viime kansinun lekula mishmara. Here, by the way, maybe we should just refine that which we said at the beginning, which. Miriam Bas Bilga here is taken to mean the daughter of Bilga literally. So we're asking, because of the daughter of Bilga, the entire service group has to lose out? Omar Abaye, yes. Oy l'rosha, oy l'shcheino. There is a concept of if one person is wicked, then the neighbors also lose out. And there is a basis for this idea in the topic of Nige Botim, where a house that's afflicted with Tzoras, at a certain point, if the Tzoras remains there, so and you have a house that's attached to a, also in many places refer to it as a semi-detached house. Two houses that share a common wall. So the house that has the Tzoras in it is torn down, and as a result of that, the neighbor also loses his house, loses the wall of his house, because the whole house of the afflicted house is torn down. Rashi makes this point, second line from the bottom, in the middle of the line, he says, V'afa pisha nega lo nira lo bebeso shel zeh, machmas shehoisa eino itzor bekelov. Even though the nega, the affliction of the negoyim, the tzoras, afflicted this guy's house because he was a miserly individual, and that's the one of the that's a reason that a person gets afflicted with this. That's the reason that a person's house gets afflicted. Chavero loko b'shvilo, the neighbor is affected as well. Mikan omru, from here we have the rule. Oy l'rosh, oy l'shcheino. Now, the Gemara continues. Marsha explains, in order to finish on a good note, there's another principle, Toiv Letzadik, Toiv Lishcheino. And Rashi explains that if on the negative we see that the neighbor loses out, we know that the attribute of the Kodesh Baruch Hu when it comes to the positive is much greater. So that if he punishes the neighbor of a Rasha, all the more so you can assume he will reward the neighbor of a tzaddik. And hence, toiv l'tzaddik, toiv l'shcheino. It's good. The righteous one benefits, and even the neighbor of the righteous one benefits. Shnemar, Imru tzadik ki toiv, ki pri malalehem yochelu. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, in addition to the conclusion of Masechah Sukkah, we also conclude our shiur for today.